Blog Talk Radio.
I declare you will know the favor of the Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. And in due time, God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world as it blooms. A great work is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that hath begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
Good afternoon, everybody. We just want to say thank you for joining the Anointing Full Gospel Center presents to you the Anointed Women's Ministry this Friday, April the 28th. We just wanted to say thank you, and we just honor God and thank God for allowing us to have life this day and even being able to come together and to fellowship together, to encourage one another, to inspire each other in everyday experiences, because what we experience, somebody else may be experiencing the same thing, and it is a blessing to come out of it with the wisdom, with the knowledge, to be able to be an encouragement, a seed into someone else's life that will help them in their journey. So again, we honor God. We thank God for this opportunity. We call you blessed in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And before we get started, we just wanted to take this moment and this time to wish our own Elder Joyce Harrison happy birthday. We just thank God for her, her love, her dedication to God, our leader, God's people. And we just want to say happy birthday to you. We wish marvelous blessings and supernatural favor onto you this day. And so we thank God for her. And we're going to go into today. And what came to me about today's topic is about relationships. And the question is to you, how do you do relationships? And that to me was a question that I thought was very simple. A few years ago when I came into this ministry, I thought that when you, for example, if you're in a romantic relationship and you thought, hey, this person likes you, you like them, hey, you're in a relationship. Things are just going to happen. Things are just going to work. And then as I realized over time, they did not work. And so what I've learned at church is about a relationship, and it is about also understanding about what love is. Do you love yourself? Do you even accept yourself? Because if you don't even start with you how to love yourself, how are you going to have a successful relationship? Because as I mentioned earlier, yes, we've all been in relationships because we're human beings. All of us have been in either a platonic relationship, have been in a romantic relationship, family relationships. We are always going to be in a relationship, even work relationships. And the one thing that blew my mind at church, I will never forget, it was a Wednesday Bible study. And Chief Apostle broke down the word relationship in a way that I never, ever understood. I never even heard of before. And it was literally looking at that word relationship. And you can see the word within it, relate. And you can also see ship. And so breaking those two words within the word relationship and describing it and understanding what does that mean. And when you look at relate, it is something that you have in common with the other person. And you have ship. A ship carries. It holds. And so putting it together, that me and this other person, again, no matter what kind of relationship it is, we've got to be able to relate. We've got to have something in common in order to be in this together, this relationship. And I've never heard of it like that before. So it opened up my understanding. You know, we have those light bulbs that go off. I had a light bulb experience. And I'm going to have to slow down because I'm extremely excited, because this was something that literally has taught me something in my life, especially as going into my 20s. Now I'm in my mid-30s. Just something I just did not I fully did not comprehend. I just thought, when you're in a relationship, it's just something that happens. And then I remember one evening I was laying across my bed, and I would journal, and I remember I was just writing, and God said to me, clear as day, love is not emotional. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because when you look at relationships, what God brought me back is, where does it start? It doesn't start with the other person. It starts with us. It starts with us as individuals. And with that being said, we're going to go into the Word of God, which is going to come out of Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 39. And it reads, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I'm going to stop there. There's going to be a few other scriptures we're going to get into. And so right there, Jesus is teaching us how to love God. Because God, he is love. That is the scripture. That is the Word of God that defines that God is love. And when we look back at the Word of God, and we can even apply it to our own lives, look how God is compassionate. In times in which, look, I can testify, and I'm sure you all can as well, in times in which that, look, I knew I did not deserve forgiveness. And I remember Chief Apostle taught us that when the peace of God comes, that is God giving us to know all is well. And I remember I knew I did not deserve forgiveness. And I went to God and I repented for that. And there was a peace that came over me. And I was in such shock because, you know, like as young children, when you know you did something you ain't got no business doing, you knew you were in trouble. Like you expected it. You knew it. You looked out for that switch, that belt, that thin piece of branch you had to go get outside. You expected that to happen. And so in that situation, that did not happen. That was God's mercy. That was God's compassion. That was God's forgiveness. That's his love. He is caring. He is compassionate. He is forgiving. He is merciful. He is graceful. He is patient. He is all those things. And that is love. God is love. And Jesus is teaching us in Matthew, look, this is how we are to be unto the Father. And when he said, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your mind, that gives us to know, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your heart. Where Jesus is saying, look, with all of you, with your thinking, with your emotions, and how you feel, is your heart pointed up to God? And with all of our thinking, with all of our reasoning, are we making the choices that show that, look, I love God, even though that the people that I'm affiliated with, or that, for example, if the people want to go and do things that I know is not right for me, or something that I know that I should do, am I going to make the right choice and the decision that shows that I love God to make this choice, not to follow the ways of the world, to not to follow what people say, but I'm going to love you in my choices. I'm going to love you in my thoughts. Are my thoughts towards you? Am I thinking upon you? Am I grateful for what you've done? Not just in the yesterdays, but just in right now, in this very moment, am I grateful? Am I thoughts on you? So that is what Jesus is saying. In all of who we are, in all the variations of who we are, are we loving God in those areas? Or is that being pointed up to God? And then the very last scripture I read in verse 39 pointed to us that now this is how you are to be as unto God. Now you got to take that same love. You got to now love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what I wanted to point to, because I did not love myself. And it wasn't something that I just walked around saying, I don't love myself. I don't love myself. But when I came into the true knowledge of what love is, that's what opened my eyes. That's what caused me to realize I did not love myself. I did not accept myself, because now that I see what it is, and we've been taught at church, you've got to have one, two things to compare it to. So now that I saw this is how I lived my life, this is how I viewed relationships, this is how I viewed myself, now that I see this, I see love, compassion, I see forgiveness, and we think those are things that are automatically happening. But let me give you an example. We can be in a relationship, and then you're always giving, always wanting to give here. No, you don't have to do that. I'll do it. No, you don't have to get up and do that. Oh, no, you don't have to forgive me. Oh, no, I did wrong. Oh, no. How is that love? How are we able to accept love when we don't even, one, know how to recognize it, because we don't even know how to love ourselves? And if we don't love ourselves, we're not going to recognize it. We're not going to be able to know that, look, this is the standard that I am to hold others accountable who want to be in my life. Because I used to think, well, this is how it should be, and trying to give a little leeway. No, because what's going to end up happening is that if we lower our standards for those who don't even want to, and I'm going to get into this, who are just contributing into our lives, and we're investing wholeheartedly in this relationship, then all we're doing is coming out on the short end of the stick. And that's what God does not want us to do anymore. He wants us to know that, look, he loves us. And I remember Chief Apostle shared this example, and that was God told her that if I don't treat you that way, then you're not to allow anybody else to treat you that way. And when we come into that knowledge of knowing that, God, this is who you are love, and then you want me to also love myself that way, that puts a standard on ourselves now. So now I'm not going to allow somebody to disrespect me, because I now know that I am to be respected. I am to be cared for. I am to have patience and grace even with my own self. So if I don't see that being projected in those in whom I say I have a relationship with and people that I am investing into, then that gives me to really self-evaluate that relationship. Because the one thing that I have learned in relationships is that, as I mentioned before, people could come, will be in categories, whether they're takers, makers, shakers. Look, people, you've got to be able to recognize them. And again, the one thing I've learned is that, oh, because this person is nice and they're sweet and, you know, they seem very helpful. But then at the end of the day, you ain't really got nothing in common, but this person's nice. That does not mean that you make that person be someone that they're not meant to be in your life. Accept for who they are. Accept it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Accept that they're just probably just good coworkers. You may have good conversations, but they're not to be your best friends for life. This person may cross your path, and just because they give you a compliment doesn't mean you're supposed to marry them. But understanding that, look, this is who I am. God has taught me about love, and that's the thing. It takes time. It takes time. And what I love about God is he is so patient with us. He takes his time with us. And so because he takes his time with us, he wants us to understand about love. He wants us to understand how to love ourselves and to be graceful with our own selves. I know that I don't know about anybody else, but I'm more forgiving and caring and patient with everybody else. But when it comes to me, when I do something wrong, then that in itself just triggers my mind to just be in that place of downing myself, being negative about myself. And remember, when you love yourself, you're going to think positive about yourself. You're going to lift yourself up. You're going to recognize, hey, if you didn't make this good choice, then, hey, you recognize it, dust dust the, you know, dirt off the feet and just be able to move, learn from it and move forward. Because if not, the enemy will want to cause us to be oppressed there. It takes away our joy. It takes our strength. And it can even take away our sleep at night. So that was one of the things I wanted to mention to you, because I did read this, and forgive me, I'm kind of going in different things because this topic has been such an encouragement to me, because I know where I used to be. I know I didn't know nothing about love or relationships before I came into the church, and having it explained the way that it was, it helped me to have a better understanding and how God wants me and all of us to live our lives. And then also I wanted to just take a moment to go into another scripture, and that this is actually going to come out of John 15, verse 12 and 13. And I'm sure everyone is very familiar with it, but it reads in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." There is that example again, that Jesus is, he's taught us what love is. So now that he's taught us that, now we are to go and to produce that as well. But you can't give something to somebody else without you first having it in your own possession. You know, if somebody gives you something, it has to come into your hands before you pass it over. So now Jesus has given us to know about what love is. Now we are to now possess it. Then we give it out to others. And then in verse 13, it says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now that there, I remember learning about that at church. And the greatest thing that God has done for us is that he has given us Jesus Christ, the atonement for man's sin, the sacrificial lamb of God. And I remember being taught that, and being taught that an example of love, or if I can say it this way, love is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. And if we're dealing with people who are not willing to sacrifice, that gives you to know right off the bat where they stand with you. Because if they are serious about you, and I'm not talking about anything I've heard but my own experiences, just to give you an example, I was in a relationship years ago, and I was getting, if I can see it this way, the nickel and dimes in the relationship. And because I did not value myself, I didn't feel confident, so I did not raise that standard in demanding that respect, not to be treated any kind of way. And so I got the nickel and dime. But then fast forward to a few years later, they're giving the other girl the dollars. And then it's like, wait a minute, what in the world? I gave this, I did that, and I helped you, and I was supportive, and whenever you called and you were stressed out, I was sat on the phone for hours. Like, I gave. And so that taught me, looking back, that wait a minute, I only gave. And it was one of the things that I did read in the book, and that is one of the things I do want to quote When I Am a Survivor here. It's on page 115 if you have your book, and it says, "Believe in the things you are good at and do them with all you've got." Because sometimes that people want to make us believe, and even with ourselves, society gives us to know this, that if you did not win the race, that if you didn't accomplish that goal, that somebody else is better because they accomplished it, because they did it first, or they came to that solution first. They're better. The one thing I know about the Word of God is that God called Adam and Eve male and female. He did not categorize them saying that, oh, you're better because you've accomplished this degree. God does not look at us like that. He looks at us as being male and female. We're the ones who categorize each other to say that because you've accomplished this or because you've acquired this, then that means you're better. That's how I used to believe. I do not like puzzles. I am not, I was in school, I was not always successful in accomplishing puzzles. That's just something I was not good at. Now, some puzzles, yes, but the word puzzles, I was not fast at them. I would accomplish it eventually, but I was not quick in accomplishing them like my peers were. So that made me believe that I was not good enough. Because everybody would be like, oh, I made it. I finished first. And it was always praise those kids who finished first. So that made me believe that, oh, because I didn't finish first, I'm not good enough. So that's why it's important to know, be thankful for who you are. When you love yourself, when you accept your qualities, when you accept the good, the bad, the ugly, when you accept what you look like, when you accept and know that, look, your thoughts are worth speaking. Your mouth is worth talking. Your hands are worth doing, and that is good enough. Just because somebody may finish something before you do, that's great. That is good for them, but it does not take away who you are. And with that, I want to finish in the book, and it says, because when things are different, they are unusual, more noticeable. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier, that when we love and embrace ourselves and when we just come into that place of just loving who you are and accepting who you are, it does not matter what you have on. It doesn't matter about any of that, because you embrace you. You yourself is going to draw those that are also confident, who also respect themselves, because that kind of quality and characteristics is noticeable. It's unique. That's what God calls us, unique, special, and important. But you don't know that if we are trying to be like everybody else. If we're looking to accomplish, not accomplish, but if we are looking to be married, for example, or have successful relationships, a key is learn how to be yourself. Take time, and I know my mom would always tell me that, just get to know yourself. But now I'm coming into a better understanding through the course of being at church, learning the word. In the book, I Am a Survivor, about what this, how, that's the how thing. How do we accomplish that? How do we accomplish getting to know ourselves? Because that is very important. And when you do, you will be noticed by the ones who are going to value who you are. And then I want to go on and read, and it says, people tend to pay more attention to people and things that are different than they are. That's the uniqueness of who you are. Don't worry about being great in someone else's eyes. That's society. Society wants to put standards and levels and degrees on people. But remember, God does not. He looks at us as men and male and female. We put degrees on stuff, not God. And it says, but learn to be great in your own. When you learn to live with yourself without doubt, others will decide how to live with you. And I wanted to end there, because when we understand and know that, remember, Jesus did the ultimate act of love, and that was sacrifice. If you're dealing with someone, it doesn't matter if it's a person of romantic, if it's just a friendship, relationship. If you are the only one who is sacrificing, you're the only one giving, that gives you to know that they do not love you the way you know you should be loved, or they just don't know how. But the one thing I can say is this, when you understand what love is, now that I understand what love is, you don't want to accept anything less. Because again, just like that example I gave, because I didn't value myself, I didn't have that standard, and I'm pretty sure the other girl did. Oh, she demanded to be treated a certain kind of way. She demanded that, no, you're going to invest. If you want to be with me, if you want to spend time with me, because look, what I have and who I am, it is worth it. It is valuable. And you can't just give me no nickel and dime. No, you got to break open your wallet. You got to break open your time. And when a person is serious about you, that's what you want. You want a person who is serious. You want that in that, the illustration earlier about, you want that pig. You want a person who is going to commit to you. Not someone who's going to just contribute to you, just a dropping eggs in your life. You don't want no droppings of eggs. You want somebody who's going to give you some thick-cut pork chops. You want somebody who's going to commit. And when they commit, they're going to show that. They're going to sacrifice. They may have a full schedule that day, but because they want you, because they see and know that, look, you're valuable, you're important, I'm going to sacrifice this hour. I'm going to sacrifice this time because I want you. I want to invest this into you. But if we don't know how to invest in ourselves, then we are not going to command that kind of investment with other people. We're not going to draw that we desire. Because remember, whatever is within you, this is what I learned at church. Whatever is within you, whether it be lacking, you're going to draw that. I lacked. I needed. I needed love. I was missing that. So because of that, I drew all those men who took advantage of me. But now coming into the truth of it, this is what helps us to grow. This is what helps us to be able to have a better outlook on the things and the relationships we are involved in. By one, start with loving yourself and what that means. Even if it means taking time and thinking about God, and this is what helped me. I had a notebook that I wrote down how I understood who God is. He is caring, forgiving, compassionate. And go back through your experiences. Go back through those things that you saw God bring you through. Who was God in that situation? Was he forgiving? Was he compassionate? So that gives you to know, this is how I am to be with myself. And then you can be able to recognize and draw that same kind of people, attract those same kind of people in your own life. Because now you've invested that, you carry yourself that way, and then now it's going to draw others to you who have that same standard. And so that's what is an encouragement to me in this topic, is honestly, I did not know any of this. If it had not been coming to the church, getting the teachings, getting the understanding, getting one-on-one counsel, I would never have known this. And I am excited to be able to share that with others, to be able to know that those experiences that I went through that thought that, okay, there, you know, who can I help through anything like that? But God gives us through everything that we go through to be an encouragement. It's for people. That's what it boils down to. It is not for ourselves. So I encourage all of us just to take the time to learn and embrace the love of God. Because his love runs so deep, and it's not something that just acquires overnight. It is something that takes time. Now, if God does it, praise be to God. But my experience, it took time. Because remember, every time there would always be a test. So when things happen and you realize, like, wait a minute, I didn't settle for that, you feel good. You feel good about yourself, and that's what God wants us to. Is to be encouraged in him. So I just pray that you all were encouraged by this just as I was. So we just, again, thank God for this time, for this opportunity. And again, we just shout out our own Elder Joyce Harrison for her birthday today. And we just thank God for this opportunity. And we just bless you all and just pray that you all will have a fantastic rest of your day. And wherever you're at, just be safe. I know there's some things going, you know, with the weather. So we just want to lift everybody up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We bless you and we thank you for this opportunity, my Lord God, to be able to come together. And we just pray, Heavenly Father God, that you were glorified in this, that we lift up everyone on the call, that you will protect them wherever they go, wherever they're at. Keep them safe, my Lord, from all hurt, harm, and danger. And God, we speak to the storms, we speak to the winds, and that you will keep them safe, keep their homes, their loved ones, keep them safe and protected under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we just pray for everybody. We thank you, God, for this day and this opportunity. And we just say thank you, my Lord God. And we give you praise and we give you all of the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So again, thank you everybody for taking your time out. Have a wonderful rest of your day and be blessed.